You are listening to Mountain Coast Vineyard. We are a community of people seeking to grow our life in Jesus Christ. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the message.
Heavenly Father, Lord, again, thank you for bringing us here today, God. Thank you for not abandoning us, God. Thank you for making every provision, Lord, to bring us back into your family, into right relationship with you, God. God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that he took our penalty for sin, God, and took it to the grave and left it there once and for all. Father, thank you that you brought him back to life, and those of us that are in you get to come back to life as well, Lord. Father, thank you that you didn't leave us alone. You sent us your very presence, your Holy Spirit. God, you've given us everything. It's incredible. And Father, if we're honest, we still struggle. So, Lord, we're asking today for your Spirit to come upon us, not just for this service, but for this day, God. Father, and for our lives, Lord, God, send your Spirit upon us, empower us, have mercy upon us, Lord, that we can hear your voice and follow you all the days of our lives. God, we pray that in your beautiful, beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We, if you haven't been here, we have been going through a series called Hello, My Name Is... And what that really means is that we're talking about this thing called identity, right? Everything out there in this world, TV shows and magazines and emails and even your own voice wants to kind of give you a label and say who you think you are. But we've been kind of looking at that and saying, no, that stuff's okay, but it's not really the truth. Because the truth comes from who God says you are, right? The truth is you are who God says you are. And there's going to be a lot of forces out there trying to speak lies to you. So we're trying to work through that. So I just want to spend just a moment getting you caught up if you haven't been here. Week number one, we went back to the very beginning, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And we learned that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, made all things and then made coffee. Okay, I just want to see if you're with me. He made humans in his image and likeness. He made you and I in his image and likeness, and he said that we're very good, beautiful. But then something happened. We got deceived, and our image, our identity got transferred into, image and likeness of God, and we started thinking, well, we're flawed. Our soul is shame-saturated, and we're deceived, and we're lost, and this thing's on us called sin, and it's icky, and it's weird, and we just don't feel right. That happened. It's true, and we all experienced that. Well, that kind of was going on. That ruled up till this time when Jesus came on the scene. You see, we were in bad relationship with God because sin had a price. However, Jesus came and we learned that the blood of Jesus, him on the cross, paid the price. Now we're ransomed, we're redeemed, and now we're reconciled into relationship with God that we are no longer at war with him. We're no longer, there's no enmity between us, and that we're in right, he's inviting us back as kids. And the good news is we didn't have to do a darn thing other than say thank you and then live for him. So we learned that. And then last week we started building upon that we're reconciled, we're in right relationship with God, and now we're moving forward into, last week we talked about that we're accepted, and there's nothing like being accepted, and that we're forgiven, absolutely, totally forgiven. If we forgive others, he forgives us, we're totally clean, slate, forgiven, clean. Beautiful. We also learned that we're loved. We're the apple of the Father's eye and that he loves us. He is love and that he loves us. He's so incredibly mindful of us. Even when we're broken, he still loves you unconditionally and incredibly. Well, today we're stepping into another layer. And today we're looking at, let's see, I'm back with the remote, that you guys, if you're in Christ, are alive, like alive.
Yay, we're
alive. Alive. And free, right? So, okay, I knew it was going to happen today. Here we go. Let's do it. When I was younger, I used to love these movies called like Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dead and stuff like that. I know, shame on Dan. Yeah, I get it. Anyway, I used to love them because here's what happened. Like there's these people and they're alive and all of a sudden all these dead people are walking around, brains. And like, so the movie was actually made for, conceptually, it was made this rail against consumerism, actually. That's what the movies were about, was Israel. We're all zombies consuming. We're not really thinking about it. But like, I started seeing in a spiritual lens that we are among the living dead. Because if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you may be alive in your body, but dead in your spirit. That's a radical concept. So those who are lost are truly spiritually dead. But when you come to Christ, you get rejuvenated and you become alive. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just wanted to somehow work in Night of the Living Dead into some sermon. Classic 80s, I love it. All right, where are we at? So this week in prayer, we're in prayer. We pray here Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. If you're not working, have time. We meet up on the second floor, 10 a.m. And Lorraine had said something that was really interesting, because I was kind of ruminating about, like, what am I going to preach on, God? What's the message? And she said the same. She said, and I'm going to try to quote you on this, but she said, freedom is the ability to start and stop. Is that right? That's good, isn't it? Freedom is the ability to start and stop. So I've been thinking about that, and it's beautiful. And so that was kind of like the, okay, Dan, you're talking about freedom this week, go. And so I started doing this research. And so we're going to be getting into the book of Romans today, and we're going to camp out in Romans. And let me just, first of all, have a little disclaimer, because Romans is heavy duty. Man, it's heavy duty, and I feel, you know, confession time, I feel a little bit inadequate to try to even speak about the mysteries of the cosmos as found in Romans, but we're going to go for it. And on top of that, I trust that it has nothing to do with me, it has everything to do with God. And so you're in a good place, you're in a good seat today, you chose wisely. And so we're going to get into Romans, but before I go there, I'm sure I have other stuff. Oh yeah, can I start with a question? Is it possible that we as Christians, living out our days here on earth as strangers in a strange land, is it possible that our soul is a foreigner inside of a foreign land, which is our body? It's kind of interesting, huh? That your soul may be living in a foreign land, which is called your body. All right, so I want to say this. Listen, your body is not who you are. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of amens going on, like, woohoo! Yeah. Your body is not who you are. It's where you live. Kind of interesting thought. Okay? Your body's not who you are, it's where you live. Therefore, if you try to build your identity forged on your body, it's going to naturally be flawed, because your body's not actually who you are, it's where you live. And so we're working at going to inside of who you are, your soul, and starting to work on forging an identity there, and then let that thing manifest out into your body. And that's a good word right there. I mean, that's profound. I remember when I first learned that, I'm like, this isn't, Dan's just a shell. And it's true, because this body is kind of fill in the blank for what your body is doing with you. So we were talking in men's group, and it was cool. Lem, we've moved beyond guns in men's group. We've started talking about God. So if you've been waiting for us to get beyond guns and start talking about God, now's the time to come if you're a man. Anyway, I just say that. We were talking about it, and our friend Dave was there, and he said something interesting. Dave's up on the slope, and he's not able to be here, but he said something interesting. He said, because we were talking about this soul inside the body, and he's like, that's how you can have cancer and not have cancer. Well, if your soul's regenerated, your soul ain't have cancer, but this body may very well have cancer. Kind of interesting to think about. So if who you are is inside this body, right, you get born again, your spirit gets rejuvenated, you're alive and well, still living in this, which isn't necessarily alive and well. So you can be and have, now I may be wrong on this, you guys can challenge me theologically, not now, later. But let's talk about that. What is that possible for you to be fully alive and well, not have anything going on, and yet still have something going on? It's just kind of an interesting thought. I want to get us to a place to maybe that's quite possible. And that may explain the already and not yet. That may explain scripture sometimes of why, like, it's saying I'm a new creation and yet, like, I'm still bald. Right? Or fill in the blank, whatever it may be. So anyway, I just kind of want to throw that out there to ruminate in on and think about that, because that's really, if you can get that as a foundation and start to read scripture, because we're going into Romans, it may make a little more sense about how that works. So you guys in with me on this so far? You ready to kind of get in Romans a little bit and see what happens? All right. So today we're going to look at, and I got this written down, how you control your body is a physical manifestation of where your soul resides and is connected. Okay? How you control your body is a physical manifestation of where your soul resides and what you're connected to. All right, so I am alive to Christ and dead to sin. Let's get into the scripture. Here it is. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, so here's the goal, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in what? That's the goal. For if we've been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that the what? Old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to what? Yeah, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Told you it's heady. And it starts getting heady because we're talking about baptism, right? And so if you start reading about scripture, you'll also learn that there's a couple types of baptism, which starts to make it a little bit more complex. And it's okay. Again, we're relying on God to speak. So there's water baptism, the baptism of John, the baptism for the repentance of sins. And then there is a spiritual baptism, being baptized into Jesus Christ, having the Holy Spirit come upon you. They can happen at the same time. They don't necessarily happen at the same time. Kind of interesting. So just to make it, I just want to like throw a little complexity, but that's part of the reality. So just as Jesus Christ, his perfect body died, and in his death, he took sin to the grave, releasing us from the power of sin. Baptism is an incredible picture of this spiritual reality. So it's a physical representation of a spiritual reality. The old self, the sin-driven self, goes into the water, dies, and then comes back out and the new self emerges. Isn't that beautiful? That's why we have said this, dead to sin, alive to Christ. So if you've been baptized into Christ, your old self has died. The old self that was captive to the power of sin, you have now been released from that power and are free to follow God. Isn't that good? That's good news. So the goal, the outcome of the work of Christ then, is to be released from the prison of sin that we can walk in a newness of life. My friend Rich Irwin says this all the time. He said, the work of Jesus doesn't make bad people good. It makes dead people alive. Isn't that great? The work of Christ doesn't make bad people good. This isn't about being morally good. It isn't about upholding the law. It's about making your spirit that was dead alive. That's good news. All right, Romans 6, 8 through 12. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives, he now lives to who? So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. That is a very profound sentence there on the bottom. Listen, you must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. Again, the old saturated sin self is dead, right? So this is a classic understanding of the already and not yet. We've talked about it's one of the language that we use around here, the already and not yet. The kingdom of God's already here, not yet fully manifested. I'm made fully alive, I'm not yet fully alive. Okay, you following? So I wrote this down. The dying and raising of Christ is something that is true for us and yet needs to be made true for us in our lives. The spiritual reality in us requires further external action by us. That's why we must consider ourselves dead to sin. Not that we are fully and finally dead to sin, but that we need to start living as if we fully were. Told you it was heady. It's good though, man. This is some good meat. This is some good, like, whoa, there's something going on inside me and I'm alive, not fully, I've got dead body, what's going on? And yet here's how we kind of work through that. All right, what is that? Romans 8, or 6 continued. Let not sin, therefore what? Reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. It's kind of interesting. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will no longer have dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So now I see in there we got a couple different domains that can kind of influence us. We have the domain of sin, which, man, if you have been liberated, you remember those days of living in sin and knowing its power and feeling absolutely helpless and weak, that you just kept doing the thing you didn't want to do no matter how much you wanted to do it. The sin had power over you, but baptized into Christ, regenerated spirit, born again, now sin no longer has that power over you. You have been freed from that. I also just want to mention that, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to wait a little bit. We're under grace. So I think it's really important to recognize grace is a free gift. Okay, we're going to get there in a little bit. But grace isn't just like, hey, you know, here you go and do whatever. Grace is an empowerment by God through his Holy Spirit to live free. Grace is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit to live free. That's the freedom we have. If you're operating in grace, you can live free. If God has mercy on you and establishes his grace in your heart, you're free from sin. Not that it's not a battle, because it's a total battle, but you're free from it. So remember, the physical body is not who you are, it's where you live. Oh, so here it is. It's a good time to mention there's a difference between sinning and intentionally sinning. Okay? There's a difference between sinning and intentionally sinning. And this is, I believe this is speaking to the intentional sinning. Where sin, you're kind of going along and we're flawed, our mind isn't fully renewed, and we just kind of mess up and we do that. That's sinning. We do bad things. But intentional sinning is like making this resolve that, you know what, I know what I'm doing is not right, and I'm doing it anyway, and I don't care what nobody thinks. Because I've been there. Right? I mean, intentionally sinning. So this is speaking against intentionally sinning. He's saying present. I love this concept. Present yourself, not as to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as instruments for righteousness. I love this concept. I love that imagery of presenting. Last night I was sitting there thinking about instruments. I love this. When you're minding your own business and then God speaks to you. Those are like my favorite times. Because you know it's not me, because I'm not thinking about it. I'm thinking about something else, you know. Oh, hey, okay. So instruments. Start thinking a little bit about two different types of instruments. One is musical, right? We all kind of associate music. And so that really spoke to me that we're supposed to present ourselves as instruments to God. So what the language I got out of that is, we are God's song. You are God's song. How you present yourself in this existence can be God's song. Right? Individually, but then I love, you know, when you get more than one person, you can start to develop harmony. And then when you get a full group of people, man, what is not possible with a full group of people that's in harmony singing an incredible song, being God's song? That's amazing. That's kind of good imagery to help. So another imagery of instruments was being a pilot. I'm fascinated by pilots. They control these huge planes, not by sight, thank God. They do it by their instruments. These instruments are telling them where they're going, where they're at, their coordinates, are they in the right direction, where to go, get higher, get lower, where to, they're operating their instruments. They're operating this whole body plane by the instruments. We're supposed to, Roger read it, it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is relying on our instruments, presenting ourselves without being able to see. Huge deal. Because when you're in that storm flying 36,000 feet, you don't want to crash and burn, right? You need to rely on your instruments, which is the Holy Spirit inside you, guiding you in the midst of the storm. So I thought that was cool. That was just good language to be able to work through. So when I read instruments, those are what I'm thinking about now. So practically speaking, how in the world does this play out? So what we're talking about again is Spirit inside you, if you're regenerated, you're alive, how do you present your body? Or how do you get your place to you can even do that? Or how do you get into a pattern of that, a habit of that, a lifestyle of that? Because it doesn't come naturally. It can for a season. Man, there was a season when I first got born again, I was on fire. I'm like, I can't do any wrong. Healing and crazy stuff. And then the season kind of goes away, and then you're left with faith. And if you've been there, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about, because there's just different seasons where you feel really connected and then there's seasons where you don't. Nevertheless, all this is true regardless of the season. So the choices you make of who you follow, either sin or Christ, have their consequence or rewards, right? If you live in the domain of sin, you will reap death. We all know that. Although it may look good and feel good, it leads to death. But if you live in the domain of Christ, you're going to reap life. Although dying to self seems painful and self-defeating, it'll ultimately produce life. So I was reading through a commentary by a guy named Michael Bird, and he said this: you need to live your life that shows we don't belong in sin land. He says you need to burn your passport, you need to renounce your citizenship, you need to forget the language, and look instead to the risen Christ as the power, listen, that annexes portions of our minds and hearts that still feel the need to submit to the old master. It's good, isn't it? Powerful. So what fundamentally shapes our ethics is not an old law, but a new life. So the pastoral encouragement here is God gives us the grace to shut the door. So shut the door, I want to talk about that. I have two stories. I'm trying to decide, looking around, who's all in here. How deep can we go? I'm going to tell one. So I have a friend. All right. I have a friend back in the old days when he lived in Colorado and used to be a hippie. A friend that used to like to smoke weed. A lot. You guys have friends like that? If you don't, you should find some because they need your help. True story. Here's a little sidestep. Don't get caught in your little Christian bubble that you don't know non-Christians. Please. For heaven's sake, for their sake, get out and meet some people that aren't like you. Anyway, so my friend, he used to like, so this is what would happen. Really had this, so this is what I was told. Okay, it's getting carried away. I need to quit. Here's the deal. Once a month. Got it. Once a month. That lasted 2 weeks. Right? Okay. Every 2 weeks. That lasted about a week. Okay, just once a week. That lasted about a day. So here's the deal. Listen, this is how it works. If I wait till sunset, that's great in Alaska till it's winter. Right? Okay. Just wait till I'm done with what I need to get done today. You know what? It's actually more fun if I just do it all day. You guys got a friend like that? All right. You see the pattern. Well, so my friend told me that he decided to shut the door because the door was open. If I can just do it, you know, I do it. If I just do it, Boom, shut the door. And what happened is, grace of God comes upon, don't even think about it anymore. And let me tell you, my friend has been free for years. Praise God. All right, all right. Do we got time? Do we want to do that? I'm going to go another one. Last Lent. Lent's coming up. A month from today, Lent, which is Ash Wednesday, which is the season leading up to Easter. I think it's 40-some days. I should know that. 40 days, including Sundays. It's kind of, anyway. So last Lent, Diane and I, we like desserts. We like desserts. And desserts started getting a little bit carried away. And so we decided that for Lent, what we're going to do is we're going to no desserts for 6 days, but on Sunday we get a dessert. Made a resolve. And after that initial, what's it called? Detox from sugar. Hey, sugar's powerful. Honestly, that first night, I'm like, ha, you know, I'm like, I think I need to eat some fruit to come down. True story. This is not about my friend. This is about me. And so after I got through that detox, no problem all week. It was really weird. It was strange. It was a very strange thing. No, I didn't have desire for desserts. Sunday came along. Guess what? Whoa. I think if I stop by Starbucks at 8:30 in the morning, I can get one of those, what are they called? One of those suckers, the pops. Cake pops. Oh, you know, and start thinking about cake pops. Saturday night, the cake pop would start coming into my mind. I couldn't wait. You see what I'm saying? Sunday would come, I'd have sugar. Sunday would go. Monday, no problem. Tuesday, no problem. Wednesday, no problem. Saturday night, Sunday would come. Where's the cake pop? Where's the cake pop? What's going on? So it worked great. All Lent. Did great. You know, no, rotten, really problem. After Lent, Easter came, Easter went. I was like, well, this kind of feels good. I want to keep on that. The problem is, I was like, okay, so Friday night, we're at the Glacier Brew House, and I surely want one of those, what is it called? What's that dessert? What is it? Well, peanut butter pie. What's the other one? Creme brulee. It doesn't matter, right? I think it was the bread pudding that was calling my name. So here's what happens. It's Friday night. You know, it doesn't have to be on Sunday. It's just once a week. And so you have it on, but then, you know, so we had our dessert. It was once a week. That was good. Until Sunday came, and it was a birthday party, and there was cake. And you can't be rude. And so the door is open. You guys see what I'm saying about the door? I think you can all relate. The door was open, and so it got wonky, and it got bad. And then, like, it, you know, it kind of was wonky, honestly, all year till Christmas. And I'm like, I'm not even going to try for the holidays. I'm just letting free for the holidays. I'm going to get back on it in January. And so I'm back on it. But here's the deal. I had to shut the door. I had to make parameters. Once I did that, boom, the grace of God, boom, flooded me. And I was able to do it, and able to do it actually quite easily because I decided to shut the door. All right, that was kind of code you guys understand, I trust. Back to the scripture. Those are good stories, though, right? I mean, that's how we understand, relate, we get it. All right, where are we at? Romans 6:23. All right. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. You don't have to worry about it. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? Whew, nailing it, Paul. For the end of those things is what? But now that you've been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. The fruit that you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So here's a little curious statement. Death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. The question is when. Okay, I'm not talking about your bodies at this juncture. Let's go to that thing inside you, that soul. Death is inevitable. The question is when. If you remain in the domain of sin, if you choose not to accept the regenerated spirit of Christ, the end will result in eternal death. But if you allow the spirit to come in you and regenerate you, your spirit then dies now. You live your life to Christ, and its end is eternal life. So the question is, when? because one of them doesn't have a very good outcome. It's interesting to think about. Am I going to die now? Okay, how about this one? Am I going to die daily? Let's get real with it. Because that's what we're talking about, is walking this thing out daily. Here's Michael Bird again. True freedom is apprehended by weaving our own story with the story of Jesus' death and resurrection as we do in baptism. We prove our baptism good. We prove our baptism good by dying to sin and living to righteousness. You ever thought about proving your baptism? That's a new thought to me. In the daily resolution to prove our baptism, we offer our head, we offer our heart, we offer our hands in service to the pattern and power of the cross, so that our true nature, emblematized in baptism, carried by prayer and strengthened by the Spirit, rises like Christ walking out of the tomb triumphant. That's amazing. That sums it up. I've never, honestly, so I got baptized February 29th. I know, weird, huh? 2004. So I'm coming up on my 4/16-year anniversary of baptism. I've never until I read that, never thought about revisiting my baptism, even on a daily basis, saying, waking up and being like, you know what? Self, you're dead to sin. You know what? I'm going to prove that today. I'm going to prove my baptism good by walking out that way. I've never had that thought before. That's a good thought, isn't it? I mean, that's a profound thought. Waking up tomorrow morning, Dan, this body of yours, you got a regenerated spirit. So regenerated spirit, have your way with the body. You don't wake up and say, all right, body, have your way with your spirit. So it's a starting point. Generated spirit manifests itself in how you become the God song. That's a little encouragement. Hopefully that helps encourage you, like a little practical tool of how to try to renew the mind. Your spirit's good. Your spirit's got to start speaking to your mind, because as your mind goes, your body goes. So get that spirit in line with what God says about you. Renew the mind, mainly through Scripture, so that your mind can allow you to be an instrument of righteousness. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's kind of simple stuff. Not easy, but simple. And so the encouragement is, one, you don't have to do it alone. God gave us Scripture. So much better than 1,700 years ago when they didn't have Scripture. We have word-for-word translations. We got thought-for-thought translations. We got paraphrases, and then we got things that we probably shouldn't be reading. We got Bibles everywhere. We got Bibles on our phones, Bibles on the computers. You got Bibles in back, you know, at the desk. We got everywhere. So the question is, how are you engaging with that? How are you engaging? For lack of better term, Dan, say it. Reading Scripture is somewhat magical. And I'd hate to use that language. No, okay, reading Scripture is incredibly supernatural. How's that? And all the Christians are like, good word, yeah. There's something happens when you engage with Scripture. There's something that happens. It's food for your soul. Scripture is food for your soul. When you feed your soul controls your body. If you starve your soul, your body will eat you for lunch. But that's it. That's experientially true. I know that is true. And so I have some control about what I'm feeding myself. And so my encouragement is, we're still in January. My guess is, you know, New Year's resolutions haven't worked out so well. Maybe they have. It doesn't matter. I got to just say this. I'm not saying abandon your body. I hope you're not hearing just abandon your body. We're supposed to steward our things well. We're supposed to take care of this thing. We are. But recognize this isn't the beginning. This is the end. It's right. So I just want you to hear that. I'm not saying, all right, just go eat sugar all the time and do all that. So I'm going to close. Yeah. I got a 2-minute video I want to show you. Bless you. I saw this video about maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and it actually started giving scientific proof about what scripture reading does to the body, what does to your soul. It's kind of interesting. And it was an accident. I'll let the video speak for itself, but I'm just going to say that. Well, let's watch this. You want to hit the lights and we'll hit this video? Oh yeah, we're alive and free. Amen. Don't forget that.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now, at three times a week, there was a blip on the map. Like, there was a heartbeat. Something happened, again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was a profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally one, two, three, four, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.